It's a Friday edition of Locked On Heat. On today's show, it's a crossover episode. Locked On Heat meets Locked On Sixers for an in-depth preview of the series.
Keith Pompey of the Philadelphia Inquirer will join us to break it all down and will predict the winner of the series. Thank you for listening and for subscribing. Now let's get to the show.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm a credentialed writer covering the NBA for the Step Back, and I write for the Miami Heat's Tip Off magazine. You can find me on Twitter at WC Goldberg.
And I'm David Romillo, credentialed NBA writer who's covered the Heat for SB Nation and allyoucanheat.com. Cover the league at large for Fansided, and you can follow me and my writing on Twitter at DRomel13.
So on Thursday, here at Locked On Heat, we did our preview of the Heat-Sixers series. What we think was an in-depth and well-thought-out and smart analysis of what's to come.
Absolutely.
Again, the series starts on Saturday, but we wanted to also get the host of Locked On Sixers, Keith Pompey, who's also a writer for the Philadelphia Inquirer, on the show. So we did a crossover episode to get the Sixers' point of view on things, and we think it should be pretty interesting.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's always good to have a different perspective from somebody who covers that team specifically. For all the talk that we had and concerns that we had about Dario Saric being the X factor for Philadelphia, Keith pointed out that it might be another player on that roster who could be a dangerous factor against the Heat. But he did confirm our concerns that, or our thoughts rather, that a Heat player with a lot of experience and championship experience at that might be a deciding factor in Miami's favor. So it's a really great show. A very good listen, and I think it's going to be a great series on both ends.
Really excited for it and excited for this episode. Excited for you guys to hear it. So without further ado, let's do it. The crossover episode, Locked On Heat meets Locked On Sixers. Here we go. Welcome to a special crossover edition of Locked On Heat and Locked On Sixers. My name is Wes Goldberg, and I'm here with my Locked On Heat co-host, David Romill, and host of Locked On Sixers, Keith Pompey. We're going to take a look at how the Heat and Sixers match up in the 3-6 series in the East. Both of these teams split the season series, with each team winning their home games. Keith, after the Sixers beat the Heat in the first two games, the Heat beat the Sixers in the final two matchups of the regular season. Is it as simple to say it's just because the games were played in Miami? What was the difference between the Sixers' losses and then the wins against the Heat?
You know, I don't think it was just as simple as saying that the games were in Miami, because it could easily have been 3-1 if Dwayne Wade wouldn't have missed that three-pointer at the end of the second game. I think that, you know, the difference is, like, I mean, you have to give each team the home court advantage, so to speak. But, you know, at the same time, I just think that these squads are evenly matched, because for the most part, all the games went down to the wire, you know. And I think that these two teams are evenly matched, and just big players made big plays at the end of the games.
So Philadelphia offers a ton of challenging matchups, especially when it comes to their versatile stars, Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. David, we saw that the Heat used both James Johnson and Justice Winslow to guard Simmons. How do you see the Heat guarding the likely rookie of the year?
Well, I think that James Johnson will be the natural matchup to go against Ben Simmons, to be honest with you. I think it was effective in their last matchup in the fourth game of the season series. And James Johnson has shown the ability to stay with larger, you know, passing, playmaking forwards, LeBron James, Giannis Antetokounmpo. So I would assume that Johnson starts off guarding Simmons, and then Justice Winslow off the bench would come in and contribute on that end. And I think it's a good matchup in Miami's favor, to be honest with you. As good as Simmons has been, you know, again, likely the rookie of the year, I think Johnson has the speed and strength to make things difficult for Simmons, despite the fact that he's giving up a couple of inches to Ben. But I still think that James is experienced enough, he's savvy enough, and he knows how to get in position. So I think it's going to be a matter of whether or not he can avoid foul trouble as well. But for the most part, it's a good matchup for Miami.
I think there's an interesting matchup there, too, with Josh Richardson, right? Josh Richardson, one of the league leaders in steals. In the last time these teams played, Josh Richardson guarded Dario Saric. But when in that position, he was a lot of times off the ball, sort of playing free safety, so to speak, trying to jump passing lanes and stuff like that. But Keith, I know we're talking a lot about right now how the Heat are going to defend the Sixers, and a lot of attention is going to be on that because of obviously guys like Simmons and Embiid. But is there somebody on the Heat that presents an especially challenging matchup for the Sixers on that end?
You know, I would have to say Dwayne Wade. And the reason why, you know, I know Dwayne Wade isn't the Dwayne Wade of like 5 years ago, but it just seems like against the Sixers, they typically have a tough time against a scorer off the bench. Like if you have a guy who can just come in and give you some buckets, the Sixers tend to struggle against that. Now, they haven't gone up against that really during their 16-game winning streak. And then also a problem is what another problem the Sixers have is basically Robert Covington will probably guard D-Wade when D-Wade comes in the game. But a lot of times during switches, they would put Dario Saric and Ben Simmons on them, and they basically struggled. Another problem for the Sixers right now with Joel Embiid not being able to play at least the first game is who's going to guard Hassan Whiteside. You know, Whiteside, you know, dominated Embiid in the last game they played. So Embiid's the best defender. He's saying that he could be a defensive player of the year. You lose a lot when he goes out. So to me, that's a key matchup, at least for game one. Who's going to guard Wade and who's going to defend Whiteside?
Are they likely to start Amir Johnson in Embiid's place in game one?
Yes, Amir Johnson is going to start in game one. You know, they keep holding out hope that Embiid will come back. I doubt it. And then you have another guy in Rashawn Holmes, who's the backup center. But he's kind of like more like a power forward. He's a 6'9 guy who's really athletic. And then Ersan Ilyasova, who is the backup power forward, sometimes they like to go small ball and they like to play him at the center position. I just don't see them at this particular time having anyone who can just defend Whiteside.
I think this is probably the worst matchup for the Sixers because you look at how versatile Miami is and their ability to match up with almost any team and how experienced they are, obviously, which is not something that Philadelphia has as far as playoff experience. If the Heat are going to win this series, they're going to have to win, I think, at least one of the first two games that are in Philadelphia. After that, the 76ers could get rattled. The flip side of that is if the 76ers come out and they're able to beat Miami, especially in game one with or without Embiid, they could build confidence early on and say, you know what? We don't really need experience. We have talent. We're just better than these guys. But if Miami is able to come out and beat them early on, I think that's going to be a key to if Miami wins the series, they're going to have to win one of those first two games. David, is there a key to victory that the Heat need to have in order to win this series?
For me, I think it's limiting an X factor. I think the Embiid-Whiteside matchup could be a wash. I think the Simmons-Johnson one could be an evenly matched one as well. So to me, it's preventing a guy like Saric from going off or J.J. Redick having an explosive night. You know, Covington, I'm not so sure that he's going to have one of those explosive nights, although he can be definitely a legitimate scorer during the series. But I think it's limiting that X factor and making sure that either one of those players like Saric or Redick doesn't go off on a particularly productive night and making sure that Miami stays with them defensively.
Keith, how can the Sixers leverage their talent to overcome that lack of playoff experience to win this series?
You know, that's going to be tough. I mean, they're going to have to depend a lot on J.J. Redick. I mean, J.J. Redick has played in, you know, 88 playoff games. That's by far the most on the team. He started in 48. And the funny thing is, he started in 48. Marco Bellinelli is second on the team with playing in 48. So that's going to be tough. And, you know, the thing about J.J. Redick, if I'm the Miami Heat, I'm going to try to run him off the spot as much as possible and force someone else to beat me. And when you have a young team that does not have a Joel Embiid, at least in the first game, you know, the team could get rattled because this is going to be something different than they're used to. They haven't played in the playoff game. So, you know, it's just going to be tough, man. I think they're going to have to depend on Redick a lot. But if I'm Miami, I know I'm going to try to make it as tough as possible for Redick.
Hey, everyone. I hope you're subscribed to Locked On NBA. Yes, yes, yes. This is Locked On Heat. And we appreciate you subscribing and listening to this, as always. But you're going to want to add Locked On NBA to your daily podcast playlist. Why? because it's the only daily NBA podcast that's less than 30 minutes long and delivers the most important news, scores, and storylines of the day. It's bite-sized, it's consumable, it's ready to go every day for you. And make sure to listen on Tuesdays, because that's when David and I are hosting. To get the latest episode every day, subscribe on iTunes or on your favorite podcasting app. David, you mentioned Dario Saric as a possible X factor. I agree with you. I think Saric could be, you know, you look at guys outside of Simmons and Embiid who could really have an impact on this series. And Robert Covington, one of my favorite players in the league, by the way. I prototypical 3-and-D guy, great guy to talk to in the locker rooms. But also, we kind of know what he is, right? We know that he is that 3-and-D prototype. He's going to shoot a bunch of threes. He's going to defend his butt off, and he's going to do it at a high level. Same goes for J.J. Redick. Of course, he's a guy who can get hot and maybe win you a game here and there. But I'm looking for guys who could sort of elevate their own games and maybe be something that we hadn't seen. And to me, that is Dario Saric, because he's so versatile and he's got so many of these in-between talents, that passing game. He's underrated in the way he could put the ball on the floor, and he's been a great shooter, particularly from the corners this season. To me, Saric is the Sixers' X factor. But Keith, is there somebody who stands out to you as somebody as a player who can really elevate their game and maybe tip the series towards the Sixers?
I want to say two people, and one is Marco Bellinelli, and the other one is Ersan Ilyasova. I mean, they were two pickups that they got after the trade deadline in free agency. And, you know, they are partly the reason why the 76ers are on a 16-game winning streak. And a lot of times, you know, when they close out games, Ersan Ilyasova is on the floor, you know, so that's how vital he is. And then Marco, you know, he's like, you know, he's their top scorer off the bench. So I think that, you know, these two guys are going to be very key to the outcome of the game. You know, when you look at it, yes, Ersan Ilyasova, his fifth game with the Sixers, they lost to Miami. But after that, they only lost one other game. You know, so I kind of think, and I know everyone's talking about Dario, and right now, you know, Dario is coming off of a right elbow injury. And with that said, his shot isn't where it used to be. But I just believe that Ersan Ilyasova is going to be the guy that can do it.
Good point. David, is there somebody on the Heat that you think could be – this Heat team is funny, right? Because it's been somebody steps up in every single one of their wins, right? The last game of the season, it was Wayne Ellington scoring 30-plus points. But is there somebody to you that needs to step up in this series to win it for the Heat?
Well, I think Keith brought up a good point about Dwayne Wade being a dangerous X factor for Miami. Obviously, the experience there, the fact that he is nearing the end of his career, and as we've talked about before, the fact that he's probably appreciative of this moment more than any other, the fact that he's going to be able to compete at the highest level of the game here, even though he's not, you know, obviously not a legitimate contender for a title at this point, he can still make a difference in the playoffs. So I think that's certainly a factor to consider. But I'm also curious to see how Kelly Olynyk does off the bench. As much as the Whiteside-Embiid matchup is going to get the spotlight, Kelly Olynyk's versatility, the fact that he's been able to play at a high level in the playoffs before, that he's so versatile that he can provide quality defense, if not stellar defense off the bench, his playmaking ability, and of course his perimeter shooting, which he's, you know, he's been a very good shooter for Miami this season. To me, that seems like the player who could be most dangerous and could tip a series in Miami's favor.
I agree. Olynyk has the opportunity here to be a dangerous weapon for the Heat, especially because the Sixers don't necessarily have somebody in their reserve unit that matches up. To me, I want to see more from Goran Dragic from the Heat. I mean, that is a tough matchup going up against Ben Simmons, basically, especially when you look at the Sixers. They're probably going to shorten their rotation. Keith, I don't think TJ McConnell is going to play a whole lot. Certainly, they're probably not going to run Markel Fultz out there. Given his current state, right?
Oh, they'll run him out there. Yeah, I mean, Markel played like 20-something minutes the last game. You know, Markel, on the second unit, he gets a lot of play on the second unit with Marco and Ersan. So TJ McConnell probably minutes, you know, are going to be, small. But look forward to seeing Markel Fultz playing.
Well, that might be an opportunity for Dragic, right? Because, again, I mean, with Simmons on him, he's only scored, I'm looking at the four games against Philadelphia, scored 10 points, 18 points, 21 points, and then 7 points. So it's pretty up and down, but as far as a point total, but his field goal percentage has always been low in those games because, again, Simmons is such a quality defender and he's guarding a lot of times. He's swallowing up Goran Dragic. So if Dragic could just, he doesn't have to score 20 plus points a game, but he also can't be going out there and scoring 7 points a game in the Heat expecting to win necessarily. Okay, let's get to some predictions. David, I want to know what your prediction is for this series.
You know, I think it's a juicy storyline to think about the playoff experience tilting in Miami's favor. And I think that's certainly the case, but it's kind of lopsided in the sense that, you know, Dwayne Wade has most of that experience as far as members of the regular rotation. Aside from that, I just don't know. This team hasn't shown the ability to be consistent all season long, and I don't know that that's going to change over a seven-game series. I still think it's going to be a tightly contested one, but I think Philadelphia, given their youth and given their talent, probably wins the series in seven. So I think it's going to go the full distance, but being at home for a game seven puts things in Philadelphia's favor.
All right, Keith, what's your prediction? Are you agreeing with David?
Oh, man, you guys put me on the spot. I do think the Sixers will win it. I do. But I was thinking more of the lines of six games. I was thinking that finally someone will get a win on the road. You know what I mean? And because the games were so closely contested. And the only reason why I'm giving the Sixers like tilting them as the favorite to win the series is because of I think that Miami is still inconsistent, but the 76ers right now have improved. So the fact that they have improved and they're playing better basketball, I think that that will ultimately get them over the hump in this series.
So both of you guys picked the Sixers. So in the interest of being interesting, I'm going to go with the Heat. I'm going to go with the Heat in seven. To go back to something Keith said earlier, it has been a close series all season long. It could have easily have been a 3-1 instead of a 2-2 going either way. Could have been a sweep either way. All these games have been close. And so I think Miami, they win one of the first two games at home. Or I'm sorry, they win one of the first two games in Philadelphia. Maybe the 76ers get rattled a little bit, but even then the Heat grab home court advantage. It goes to seven games. The seventh game is in Philadelphia on TNT on the national stage. That's when the Heat's playoff experience really kicks in. Dwayne Wade hits a go-ahead mid-range two-pointer to put the Heat up at the very in the last seconds, and the Heat go on to play either the Celtics or the Bucks in the second round. I'm not sure if I believe that, but that's what I'm going with. So just, again, in the interest of being interesting. So, all right, it's going to be a good series either way, guys. I'm really excited for it. We're pumped for this, and this is all we got. Again, special crossover episode of Locked On Heat and Locked On Sixers. For David Ramil and Keith Pompey, I'm Wes Goldberg. Thanks for listening. It's easier than ever to listen to Locked On Heat. You don't even have to use your hands. Now you can stream the show on your smart speaker, such as Amazon Echo or Google Home. It's easy. Here, I'll show you. Alexa, play the Locked On Heat podcast.
Getting the latest episode of Locked On Heat. Here it is from TuneIn.
It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Now it's that much easier to stay up to date on the latest episodes of Locked On Heat, the only daily Miami Heat podcast. Subscribe on iTunes or on your favorite podcasting app.
This is Philip Rossman-Reich, the host of the Locked On Magic podcast, coming to you with some breaking news. The Orlando Magic have fired head coach Frank Vogel the day after the NBA season ends. Of course, a sort of Black Thursday, if you will, as the season ends. Some of these teams that did not make the playoffs make their decisions to move on from their coaches. The Magic, though, moving on from Frank Vogel after two seasons. He wins just 54 games in his two seasons with the Orlando Magic, 29 last year, 25 this year. And while Orlando's 25-57 season certainly cannot be wholly put on Frank Vogel, the team suffered more than 220 games lost due to injury to some key players throughout the season. Undoubtedly, the Magic were kind of churning in the water. They started off 8-4, and then fell back into a lot of the bad habits that they've had throughout the last 5 years, throughout the last 6 years now, and never really got themselves moving forward. This is a franchise that is seemingly at the bottom, at the worst place they can be, and unable to take that next step forward. So the Magic, in their efforts to take that next step forward, are firing their coach. Seems like the logical and first thing to do. Except Orlando now will have six coaches in the last 6 years. Ever since firing Jacques Vaughn in 2014, they've gone from Vaughn to Borrego to Skiles to Vogel. Now they'll have a new coach as well next year. Some of that is certainly due to the fact that they have a new president of basketball operations now entering his second season with the team, and the team is expected to make some major, massive changes this coming summer. Vogel is not to blame for the Magic's problems. They still have a lot of roster moving to do, but whenever there's a new boss, he wants to get his own people in, and it seems like that was the move that the Magic are making today. Orlando Magic have fired head coach Frank Vogel, moving in a different direction. They'll have the fifth best odds in the NBA draft lottery as well. But for now, for Locked On Magic, this has been Philip Rossman Reich.
Breaking news out of New York today. The Knicks have decided to part ways with head coach Jeff Hornacek, to the surprise of absolutely no one. He was picked by former president of basketball operations Phil Jackson, and with his final year of his contract coming up, there was a deafening silence out of Madison Square Garden about his future. The question you might be asking yourself is it fair? Did he deserve it? That might be a little bit existential. Does anyone deserve anything? But if you're asking yourself, does this make sense for the New York Knicks as an organization in order to maximize their success going forward? I would say absolutely it does. Jeff Hornacek, unfortunately, was not the guy to get them where they need to be. If you want to know why, I'll give you a couple of reasons. First of all, the Knicks ranked in the very bottom of the league in three-pointers attempted and in three-pointers allowed. It was almost as if Jeff Hornacek was unaware of trends in basketball in 2018. When asked to explain why the Knicks lead the league in mid-range shot this season, he gave a truly baffling response that relied on math that didn't have any bearing on reality. It was truly disappointing. He had bizarre explanations for his questionable rotation decisions. At one point, he said Frank Ntilikina, their rookie defensive stud, would not be starting because he would have trouble chasing the immortal Jody Meeks around screens. Interesting. KP's development stalled after a gangbusters first month, and Jeff Hornacek did little schematically to help him adjust to the added attention of being the Knicks' number one offensive option. His in-game adjustments left a lot to be desired, and he had question marks around his player relationships. Most famously this year, he got into a, what some people termed, near physical fight with Joakim Noah, which made the Knicks have to send him home for the rest of the season. KP allegedly skipped his exit meeting last year, at least in part because of a frosty relationship with Jeff Hornacek. Is he the worst coach to ever be in the NBA? No, of course not. But in a league where every little advantage needs to be maximized, Jeff Hornacek was simply not getting it done. This is James Marcita for Locked On Knicks, signing off.
That's all we have for today. We'll be back next week. You can send mailbag questions and ask about advertising on the show by sending an email to lockedonheat@gmail.com. Tweet your questions or comments for our recaps using the hashtag AskLOHeat and support the show by visiting our Patreon page at patreon.com/lockedonheat. Music is courtesy of Mojave Wild. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
Cheers, my brother.